Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Our continuing 2020-2021 preseason podcasts. Believe it or not, we have a college basketball season starting better late than never. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined here today by David Griggs and John Sleek in the top row. Below me, we got Joby Fortson. To his size, we have John Titella and Matt Zukowski. Just by a point of information, we are recording this on Monday, November 9th, around 10 o'clock p.m. So if there's some breaking news regarding the Big East that comes after this, please forgive us, but it's all David's fault for making us record this so early. This is our Big East.
Back in July, really.
Well, it would have been a little more tougher to record it back in July. We would have been talking about a season starting a week ago to begin with, among other things. But as I said, this is our Big East preview. We're going to be talking all things Big East basketball, kind of assuming for the purposes of these podcasts that we're going to get a full season in. We're going to cross our fingers on all of that and see how things go. But I think when we're talking Big East, John Titel, let me start with you. When we talk Big East, I think we got to kind of talk about one of the teams that's 1A, 1B, 1C in the entire nation. I think we got to talk a little bit about the Villanova Wildcats, don't we?
Do we have to talk about them?
I'm always happy to talk about any Wildcats you'd like. You definitely have to mention Villanova. Coach Jay Wright has 593 career wins. He'll probably break that by Christmas. He brings back a great backcourt with Colin Gillespie and Caleb Daniels and Justin Moore. He's got the 2020 returning conference rookie of the year, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, up front with Jermaine Samuels, who made a game-winning three and a win over Kansas last December. They lost Sadiq Bey, and they don't bring in any stud freshmen in terms of comparable to the ACC with all their McDonald's All-Americans, but they are the odds-on favorites, and it's not so far away that nobody can contend, but they are the odds-on favorite.
Matt, you're a Big East guy. I look at this Villanova team. I can't find holes in the lineup. Can you?
No, not really. And they don't technically bring in any stud freshmen. However, Brian Antoine was a top 10 recruit 2 years ago, but then had shoulder surgery last offseason, was never the same player. I actually look for him to come in and fill Sadiq Bey's role on the wing. A little bit smaller player, but similar. Probably not quite as good of a shooter, but more athletic. And I think he can fill and take a lot of his minutes. And not be a huge drop-off, because like I said, he was a top 10 recruit 2 years ago. And would stun me if he's in the NBA in a couple of years.
Stalika, how about your thoughts? You're also a Big East guy, being a Xavier fan.
Well, I think Villanova is going to be one of the main contenders to win the league, but another team that quietly slipped into the regular season title last year wasn't the Wildcats. It was actually the Creighton Blue Jays. So kind of a thing that things were a little weird in 2020. This was actually a year where the Blue Jays were not only getting off to a good start, but actually finishing with a bang as well. We talk about Marcus Zagorowski, who's going to be a potential Big East player of the year himself. You look at a guy like Denzel Mahoney, who transferred in from Southeast Missouri State and became eligible midway through the year. So he became another scoring threat. And you add guys like Damian Jefferson and Mitch Ballack. Greg McDermott's actually going to have a pretty decent core of guys to rely on for Creighton.
Yeah, Joby, let me bring you in here on Beyond Villanova, this Creighton team. As Lika mentioned, they did tie for the league crown last year, regular season. Obviously, we had no conference tournament. Tyshawn Alexander is gone, but kind of like Sadiq Bey being going to Villanova, everybody else is back, aren't they?
Well, I think that's like saying when we get to Seton Hall, you know, a lot of people are back, but they lost this Miles Powell guy.
We'll talk about Seton Hall later. They lost Alexander. A lot more than Powell, but
I know. We'll get to Seton Hall later. But I actually think it will have a effect because of the go-to component there. However, Creighton's still a NCAA caliber team. I just think Villanova is a leap, is steps ahead, if not a leap ahead of Creighton. But if you told me Creighton finishes second in this conference, no arguments from me. Yeah, I have a dark horse I'd pick there, but that's a dark horse, and everybody will laugh at when I say it.
So. Well, we might get to that in a minute, though. But David, there were only two teams from the Big East in the preseason top 25. They were Villanova at number 3. argue they could have been one or two over Baylor and Gonzaga, but they were number three, and Creighton at number 11.
Yeah, and I think that – I mean, that sounds about right. I'm big on this Creighton team, too. I think they're a protected seed caliber team, whereas Nova is a Final Four, maybe national title contender. But, yeah, it was kind of a shame last year because Creighton was really thundering down the stretch. They would have undoubtedly been a protected seed. One of the things that we kind of rail on Creighton for, or I do anyway, is how they sort of taper off at the end of the year and fizzle out early. They have not been past the round of 32 since the NCAA went to a 64-team format. I think that maybe they've been the one Sweet 16, but it was – you know, not really in the modern era of college basketball. So you were kind of excited for them. You know, if you follow basketball like we do, you know the kind of fan base they have. It was one of those teams that you just felt really good for. And, you know, hopefully they can kind of rekindle some of that this year and get back to that level again.
Well, Tytel, let me ask you about another team here. Joe, we already mentioned them briefly. There was a three-way tie last year for the regular season championship between Creighton, Villanova, and Seton Hall. Besides Miles Powell being gone, though, Quincy McKnight is gone, Romero Gill is gone. They're going to be relying on a Ivy League transfer in Bryce Aiken. They got Sandro back, who I think is ready to break out. But what about this Hall team? Can they be back there near the top of the conference again?
Come on, you coward. Mamu Kalajvili, how hard is it?
I'm calling him Sandro. That's all I'm going to say. So that's the end of it.
he's Mamu by Big East announcers.
Joby is right. I don't know if there's a team that's going to miss a player more this year than Seton Hall is going to miss Miles Powell. He was the heart and soul of the team. And Romero Gill was 7-2 and McKnight. They lost a ton. But they bring back your boy Sandro as well as some other nice pieces. But I want to talk about Bryce Aiken as the Ivy League guy. He was amazing at Harvard, kind of single-handedly helped that team beat Georgetown of all Big East teams in the 2019 NIT. He was Conference Rookie of the Year in the Ivy League back in 2017. He's from Jersey, and he scores. He automatically is already one of the best shooters in the conference. I think he's going to be the biggest X factor and can really take this team from good to great.
Yeah.
Wow, great.
Huh. You're looking at this, so you're talking great. Are you talking like Sweet 16 caliber great?
They would need a lot of favorable matchups, but yes, I think that even after losing all of that talent, that he and Mamu Kalajvili and others, like, I think there's enough still in the cupboard.
Yeah, I mean, Olsen coming in from Canisius is probably going to be the starting point guard. I think the guy can play also, but David, you want to disagree with Tytel about Seton Hall being great this year?
Well, in the sense that, I mean, that is a pretty hot take. I don't like them that much. I figured they'd be doing pretty good to get back inside the bubble, you know, based on everything that they lost. So, I mean, I think that they could be good, but I didn't really think that we'd be talking about them as being top 25, being protected seed, being Sweet 16 type of team.
No, I'm with you. I like them. I think they're an NCAA tournament team. I'm not quite buying to Tytel yet, but he could be right. Let's find out.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you count the votes. I mean, that's why you play the games. sorry. I had a little John King moment there. But Matt, we don't have Zach with us, which is where I'd be going right now. But one of the biggest offseason news is in the Big East is the fact that we have a new member, UConn. Back in their home, back in the Big East, where I think they belong. Yeah. But what about Dan Hurley's team, and what can they bring to the conference this season, and can they contend?
Yes, and I think they're coming in just the right time with, Dan Hurley on board, got a couple of years now to get his players in. And actually, if you're looking for a team outside of the top two who I think really could do something on the national stage this year, it would be UConn if all the pieces gel. They might still be a year away, but James Bignett's probably the best player in the conference, not on Villanova or Marcus Zagorowski. And that they have a really good freshman class coming in, Andre Jackson, Adama Sinogo, Javante Brown. And that they got RJ Cole, the transfer eligible this year.
From Howard, yeah. Tyrese Martin coming in from Rhode Island.
Yeah, he's a nice little player too that they got immediately eligible.
I guess now it's my turn. I think UConn could be a protected seed this year. I mean, wow. I know that that's coming out. Well, I loved how they were playing at the end of the year. I love what they have coming back, and I like what they've added. I think they're going to be a dark horse. I know that they're not in the rankings yet, but I think there could be one of those teams that really have a big year.
I think they got 6 votes in the AP poll, whereas Rutgers was number 24. But Salika, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
One of the cautionary tales about UConn last year was they were in a lot of close games, but they were also losing a lot of close games until I think Wichita State was the one where at home they finally managed to get a win and turn around. I mean, you want to talk about hard luck. I think we also mentioned Altari Gilbert, who transferred to Wichita State and went from what looked like the penthouse into a potential tire fire.
We'll get to Wichita.
Yeah, let me stick on this UConn thing. Joby, I want to get your thoughts on them as well. I mean, I think personally – Acock, Polly, I assume these guys are going to be healthy. I haven't heard 100%. Yeah. They were both injured.
They're last always hurt. UConn, I mean, it's like you put on these UConn jerseys and it's like all of a sudden it's like you forgot to drink milk when you were a kid. I mean, it's crazy. You know, the amount of broken bones they get. But it's and tearing knees up and stuff. UConn's a tournament level team, assuming all the pieces fit. I am not on the second weekend crowd.
Oh, you're wrong. I mean,
yeah. but I am on board with the, I think 6 votes is a travesty. They deserve more than 6 votes in the AP poll. I wouldn't have voted for the AP poll, but I could see, I'm surprised that Northeast journalists didn't, you know, do more with that because they are a tournament team. They are a top 40 to top 35 team. And that is your 8. They scream 8-9 seed to me, and they did.
This would have been my pick to win the American. It would have been had we had championship week not been halted. I just think that they were, while they didn't have the meat and the credentials to get there, I think that they were a tournament caliber team by the end of the year last year. Anyway.
Joby, I want to go back to you for a second, Titel, and get your thoughts on this team after Joby. But I think I know who your dark horse team is going to be. I think they're one of the top best team in the conference we haven't discussed yet. Are you going to the state of Rhode Island?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I think Ed Cooley has got something going. I know they lost 3 starters, but they have 7 guys who play double-digit minutes. And I do believe their best 2 players besides Diallo, losing Diallo's is something, but you've got Reeves and Duke and they are the real deal. They can give you that scoring punch. I think you're going to see breakout on that matter. You know, because Duke only had 12 points a game last year, increase it by 5 at least this year. I'm dead serious on that. They have all the, plus you talk about team playing well at the end of the year, when they were using all that depth and all that double-digit depth that is coming back, 6-game win streak. Yeah. And they were bad at the start of the year, but they were definitively – they were like in mid to late February, they were – well, should we even consider them for the bubble? By the mid-March, they were knocking on the door of a 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah, it was
that's the sort of thing, and I think that says a lot about Cooley's coaching, but I also think they have the core despite gosh, I wish they had Diallo because this team could be a protected seed team otherwise, but I think they could be second. I think they could be second in the conference, though, and they are a tournament team.
Well, Titel, what are your thoughts on this Providence team? You've got a couple of interesting players coming in. Bryce Goodine was a top 100 recruit when he went to Syracuse coming over. Noah Horchler at North Florida, albeit, but was a double-double type of guy too.
And the biggest news on Saturday in the country, Ed Crosswell becomes immediately eligible. He averaged 10-7 for LaSalle last year. Huge guy, 6'8", 245. He'll fit right in the Big East.
I got to say this. That was definitely on Saturday the biggest news in the country.
You got to look at John Rothstein's tweet on that. I've criticized him in the past, but it was one of the greatest tweets of all time. So.
Yeah, where he said he became immediately eligible and everyone in the Upper East Side of Manhattan started celebrating.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
David, beyond these top five teams we've discussed, is there another team in this conference that you're looking at as an NCAA tournament caliber team? I personally think there's a gap after these first five, but
there is a gap. But the other thing about the Big East is that I think one of the other ones will get up there. You know, look at what Butler did last year, probably starting off with no votes or no attention. Right, hold on.
I got to find my Butler notes. Give me a moment. I got to go scroll way yeah. down here. Okay. Talk about Butler, David.
Well, yeah, but I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like to go from about where they are now all the way up to fifth in the country at one point, I just think that somebody is going to emerge from the bottom. Wouldn't it be great if it were DePaul, but it probably won't be.
Well, let me go to
Salika. You should have gone to Matt, in my opinion.
Well, I think let me go to Salika first, then I'll go to Matt. But Salika, let's talk about your team. Let's talk about the Xavier Musketeers. Travis Steele now, I guess he's in his third year, correct? Marshall Jones, good and all gone. Can they compete? Can they be in the picture for a bid this year?
There is a reason Travis Steele, at the beginning of last year, said he wanted to be one of the best defensive teams, if not the best defensive team, is because offense was so porous. This team could not score in a brothel at times. It was that bad.
There you go. Well, hopefully they didn't get any NC State on them while they were there.
But what about this year, though? I mean, Fremantle should step up. Nate Johnson coming in from Gardner-Webb, he'll be able to score. I mean, what do you think about their
– Nate Johnson is going to be immediately eligible. They're still hoping that Ben Stanley, who's going to be transferring from Hampton, could also be – immediately eligible.
Everybody gets a waiver this year. You don't have to worry about that. Go ahead.
But honestly, there may be an addition by subtraction component where, yes, Najee Marshall did forego his senior year, but you had to feel like there were times when he would take over for Xavier last year, like let's say the UConn game, the Missouri game, which in itself was kind of sad because Missouri and Missouri State should never have been potentially losable games for the Musketeers last year, but hopefully Paul Scruggs was able to stay healthy because when he was day-to-day and he missed Xavier's final, I think it was three or four games, they completely fell off the cliff with losses against Providence, Butler at home, and DePaul and the Big East tournament. There was a reason why I was saying behind closed doors, do not put the Musketeers in the field because without them, they are a completely different team.
Yeah, Matt, Jovi said I should go to you, and I think we have to at this point. With 13 points a game. You lose Bailey, 7 points a game. And, I think Marcus Howard's gone, too. He was kind of good, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, although your real hot take time, DJ Carter might be a more talented overall player because there's 2 heads on the floor. As amazing as Howard was in offense, and he tried on defense, but 5'11 with the same 5'11 wingspan and average athleticism, you only can do so much in a high major conference. But DJ Carter, that's the kid. Like, if he is as talented as you think he could be, and then Dawson Garcia is probably the most talented freshman in the league, you got two nice pieces. It's after that I think is the big issue.
Joby, help me out here. You can't replace 27.8 points per game, can you? From a team that went 18-12, is that a team that was not probably on the outside looking in last year, right?
I think they were one of the first four out, actually. But Kobe McEwen's pretty good. They could be that team that you talk about, though, like. We were talking about Butler coming out. They're not going to be top five, but you know how a team rises up out of the Big East. I could see Marquette be that team. I think there will be a team that does that. I think it's pretty just the numbers back it. And I think Marquette has as good a shot as any to do that. But yeah, let's, you know, you were talking, Stalika mentioned addition by subtraction. The fact is, Marcus Howard did not make the people around him play better. I truly believe that. And maybe now with him gone, you'll see a bunch of people play better. 27 points, we will see.
Next thing I'm going to say here is going to be directed towards Matt and the Puppet. Was there a point in which Greg McDermott and Steve Wojciechowski switched places? Because it seems like Marquette has been the team the past couple of years that gets into the top 10, gets off to a good start, and then just crashes into the mountain. As David
When the calendar turns to late February, this has not been good up
in Hawaii. Tytel, let me go back to you. I want to talk about a team, maybe more about a head coach, though. Mike Anderson over at St. John's. The defense his defensive philosophy, especially in a year like this, if he actually gets this team playing defense, could the Johnnies actually be in contention for, you know, being on the bubble at least? I know Figueroa and Heron are going, but I like Dunn. I like Champagne. There's some talent here, isn't there?
I mean, I love all the Champagnes, as we have discovered. I think that he's just going to be missing too much.
Okay.
Solid wing players in Carraher and Champagne. Rasheem Dunn at the point is great, but I don't think there's enough up front. Love Mike Anderson as a coach. He's been to an Elite Eight. He's been to a national championship as an assistant to Nolan Richardson. I just don't think there's enough up front in a conference that has a lot of big guys.
Well, how about below these teams? We got a few more left to mention. David, you wanted to mention Butler. Go ahead.
Well, I meant to only mention them as an example of a team that sort of walked out of the Pacific Ocean last year and was onto the national scene. But there are solid years and there are rebuilding years. And then if you like go just below a rebuilding year, there's the preparation for the rebuilding year that would take place next year. I think that's where Butler is. The other team, what a remarkable November and December that DePaul had last year.
That's where I was going next. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about them being an NCAA tournament team, and it was legit. And I'll say this, like when conference play started, they still looked like an NCAA tournament team. It was a really strong Big East. They were right in game after game after game after game, but they just kept losing and losing and losing. And then it's, you know, by the end of the year, they were kind of DePaul. But, like, there was something there, wasn't there? I mean, we all saw it, didn't we? This was a team that was good.
Well, Joby, I mean, Charlie Moore, I think, is one of the best guards in the entire Big East. Royce Salnave comes over from Monmouth, 14-plus points a game. I think Javon Freeman Liberty should get the waiver. I don't think it's been approved yet, but he's coming over from Valpo. He can score. There might be something here to be above the basement, at least.
Yeah, we'll see if Leto can scream enough to make him do it. They actually do have some pieces. I don't know if this is the year where slapping pieces together comes, you know, easily though. And they did lose, you know, Reed and Coleman Lands, and I don't know if they're good enough to do. It's not like you're inserting a piece here. They're having to kind of build it a little bit. And that is a difficulty this year. And I don't know if Leto is good enough to build, to be very honest.
Tytel, if you could turn your mute off, as Patrick Ewing has repeatedly instructed you a few times, how about the Georgetown Hoyas?
It is going to be ugly, I think, in D.C. this year. I talked to a friend/season ticket holder who heard a rumor that if they're not going to be allowed to have fans in the games anyway, then instead of playing at the Verizon Center, they're going to move it on campus to McDonough Gym, which seats like 2,000 people, because if you don't need fans in the stands anyway, then you might as well keep it on campus. They were picked 11th out of 11, and I think it's going to be slim pickings. They got some nice transfers in Bile and Perry, but they lost seven. They lost McClung. They lost Akinjo to my Arizona Wildcats. So the pickings are going to be slim. This is sad. Like, Patrick's been there a while. He's a Hall of Fame player. He knows the game. He knows how to coach. Just there's not enough talent there.
It's his fourth year now. This is, by now you should have your players in Joby.
Yeah.
And instead, like you said, McClung gone, Yurt Seven gone, Terrell Allen's gone. And you're relying on Bile coming in from the Southland Conference. That's not Big East play.
No. And that's the shame is, I do think Ewing has done what he can. You know, I mean, he schedules like NC State. you know, unfortunately. Or no, maybe NC State schedules like Georgetown. Who knows? I don't know. Chicken and egg. But he wanted to build a program, get some wins, get some confidence, get going. But then he's been this isn't the first year transfers have been an issue. You know, and early departures have been an issue for them. Untimely early departures. Maybe there's something going on. I mean, Tytel's close to the program that I'm just not aware of. But I've been impressed with the bench coaching from Ewing. I would have thought he could have gone out and said, hey, I'm Patrick Ewing. I can teach you, big man, you know, to play. I mean, your seven was pretty good, you know, big man. But I can teach you play. Look at, you know. And it just hasn't happened. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened. But unfortunately, we've reverted to what I said about them in a, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, which is, man, they suck.
Well, we're going to be talking about Mac McClung when we do our Big 12 show. At the transfer Texas waiver was approved. He's going to be a huge part of that team.
He'll be in the tournament this year, for the rest of his former teammates.
Yeah, but let me kind of – I want to go through each of you now as we do at the end of each of these shows and ask you kind of three questions. Number one, who do you think is going to win the Big East? I think it's pretty obvious, but we'll ask it. Number two, how many visits does the conference get? And number three, any other final thoughts you have about the conference? And, Matt, let me kind of start with you on that question.
All right, so yeah, Villanova will win. And then I would think I'm going to pick Robinson Earl to be the player of the year.
Okay.
And then I'll say 5 bids. And then over under roughly 5.5, I'd go slightly under. And then what was the other question, Chad, real quick?
Just any other thoughts you might have about the Big East.
Yeah, it's ranked 4th preseason KenPom, and that feels roughly right. But I actually could see it falling a spot or two more likely than it is the climbs. It's a little bit okay year, but there's a lot of transfers coming in. It's a pretty good freshman. But it feels like not a building year, but kind of like a transition for the league for the year outside of Villanova. And I think there's actually a big gap between Villanova and Creighton and UConn.
Yeah, I think I agree completely with Matt, actually. I love Villanova to win this conference. I like, you know, the Creighton UConn picks. I think there's 5 bids. I still think St. John's is my dark horse team, but, you know, I'll probably be left after saying that at the end of the season. Sleeka, how about you?
I'm going to go ahead and, in the words of Tytel, put the over-under of bids in this conference at 6 right here. I mean, I think Villanova and Creighton are going to be clearly the head of the class, and we'll probably go back to a trend that we saw for the first 5 years of the conference where at least you're going to have 2 teams get into the NCAA tournament as protected seeds, Villanova being one of them, and there was always kind of a wild card where you had Creighton do it 1 year, you had Xavier do it another year. Even Georgetown somehow got a protected seed way back in 2015 when dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. But
dinosaurs had no coronaviruses. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think I'll also go with Marcus Zagorowski as the potential Big East player of the year.
That's a real good pick, too, I think. Tytel, what are your thoughts?
Villanova to win it all. I like Matt's over-under of 5.5, and I'll take the under, but it's close. I could see possibly a 16, but that's why it's a great over-under. My fun fact is about Kevin Willard. He's been at the Hall for 11 years now. But he's so young that his father was an assistant to Rick Pitino with the Knicks.
Oh, wow. Rick Pitino. We're going to be just discussing even our Under the Radar podcast coming up next week sometime. Joby, your thoughts?
Let's just say Nova. I think they're not just the preseason favorite. I think they are a very strong Final Four candidate. Uh-huh. They will be in my picks, among my 4 picks. This conference, I think 5 is the number. This conference, it's all the big conferences. I feel like you're going to pick right in the middle because a 500 record is going to be key. I feel like the top might make the Marquettes and Butlers of the world maybe not crack into it. But you're going to have a lot of teams in the NIT, assuming they take teams with losing records, which they did with Texas. So presumably they will. I think 5 makes a lot of sense.
And I think you're presuming there is going to be an NIT, but we'll hopefully there will be one. And
yeah,
and more importantly, David, hopefully there'll be a Vegas 16 now.
Yeah, there's going to be an ACA.
An ACA. There will definitely be an ACA. Yeah,
definitely an ACA.
There'll be an ACA that'll get canceled, being played at the Four Seasons total landscaping. But David, let me let you finish the show.
Yeah. Villanova to win the league. Villanova is probably one of my Final Four, maybe my national champion. I do think they get a second protected seed in Creighton. I'm going to go with five teams in overall, and it's kind of the obvious. You know, we've got Nova, Creighton. I think Seton Hall, Connecticut gets in. I think Seton Hall and Providence also get in. I could see UConn, if not getting a protected seed, easily being in the top half of the bracket. It's just going to be interesting. You notice that everyone's pick. This is a league that every year since it formed, other than the first year, sent half the teams or more, usually more, to the NCAA tournament. Now we're picking less than half to get in. I like UConn. I think it's nothing against them, but God, I loved what this league had in the 10-team, 18-game double round robin format. I thought that that was, when you look at them and the Big 12, another conference we're going to talk about later, I thought that that was the magic formula for basketball, either 9 or 10 teams. And you kind of hate to see that everybody's – not that you don't like seeing UConn in the league, but I kind of would have rather had everybody play two more out-of-conference games. If nothing more, like, how does that impact the metrics at all? Are they going to continue to get 6, 7, you know, regularly – there were two leagues that regularly got more than half in, and this was one of them.
Well, you know, DePaul would look a lot better in Conference USA then that would kind of solve
the problem. Yeah, if you said DePaul in Conference USA. But, like, you couldn't get more first than first. This was the first ranked league, or at least in the top two, for several years running.
Yeah.
I miss a day when you could be first place in either the red, white, or the blue division.
Yeah, we're not going back to red, white, and blue divisions, thankfully. But what we will do is, at this point, finish up the show for tonight. I'm Chad Sherwood, David Griggs and John Stalica, Joby Fortson, Matt Sikowski, John Titel, all joining us tonight. Do want to thank you all for joining us. If you look up on the top of the screen there, there is a preview tab for 2020, 2021. You can check out all our podcasts. We're going to be recording one for each of the major conferences. We're going to be doing one for all the under-the-radar conferences as well.
One for whatever. Have we come up with a name? The multi-bid leagues, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, all the multi-bid leagues will each have their individual podcasts. So later on.
Well, not all. No, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Like the non-power multi-bids, the A10, the EC.
They'll get their podcast too.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take care of everything. Don't worry. Just tune into hoopshd.com. Check out all the podcasts. But I do want to thank everyone for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.